Would you please take the Word of God and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And as you turn there, we are on lesson 13 in this series on holiness. Be ye holy. And before we read our text in this study, I would like to sum up the entire context of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 as it pertains to a believer's sanctification, to the believer who lives a holy life before God. What does justification by grace through faith mean practically for the life of the believer? Ultimately, that is the question we've been asking. Now, some would contend that grace is a license to sin. However, the Bible declares that grace is a freedom from sin. In Christ, the believer has become something that he was not before. And if you remember back in Romans chapter 6, we see the possibility of fruit unto holiness. If you remember back in Romans 6 verse 12, he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Then in verse 16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." He goes on to say then in verse 19, "For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." And so because of our new life in Christ, we see the possibility of fruit unto holiness. As we move over into Romans chapter 7, we see the problem of the flesh. Paul writes about himself, and he says in verse 18 of chapter 7, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So we have the possibility of fruit unto holiness. But the problem that stands in the way of that fruit unto holiness is the flesh. And now that we find ourselves in Romans 8, we see that the power is of the Spirit of God. In verse 11, before we read our verses in this study, in Romans 8:11, he says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." So, we find here that through the Spirit quickens us, so the power to live a holy life is found in the Spirit. Now, it is important for us to always keep the context in view as we consider the smaller part. So let's pay close attention to the following verses here in Romans 8, and notice verse 5 down to verse 9. If you follow along as I read, the Bible says here, Romans 8, 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it," the carnal mind, "is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, we see here in the verses we read, there is a clear emphasis on the mind. In last week's lesson, we dealt with walking after the Spirit. Now we are focusing or turning our attention upon the mind. Verse 5, he mentions the mind. Verse 6, he mentions being carnally minded and then being spiritually minded. And then once again in verse 7, he mentions the mind. Now remember that Paul wrote in the present tense. If you remember back in chapter 7, as he talked about verse 14 through 25, he talked about in the present tense, he says, I know that the law is spiritual in verse 14, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said that in verse 21, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And Paul also further spoke of his mind. If you remember in verse 22 and 23, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then in verse 25, he says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he dealt with the mind. Now, if you remember, when the apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Ephesus, he told them, ye have the mind of Christ. The truth is, the moment that we trust the Lord as our personal Savior, we are in Christ, and the Bible declares that we have the mind of Christ, but yet we still have the problem of the flesh that is constantly pulling us down. As we read about the mind in Romans chapter 8, we think about chapter 7 deals, as he talks about how he served the law of God with the mind. We're talking about the intellect, including the thought, the feeling, or the will. As we read in Romans 8, verse 5, he deals with the exercising of our mind, what we entertain, what we savor, what we think about, what we regard, what we contemplate, the inclinations, the purposes, the inclinations of our mind. And so that's what we're talking about. And because we are in Christ, there is a new mind that has a desire to serve God. But yet at the same time, we understand that Paul identified the struggle in chapter 7 between a mind, a new mind in Christ that wants to please God. But yet at the same time, there's the pull of the flesh. There's the carnality. There's the fleshliness that is within us, pulling us in a different direction. And Paul has explained this struggle in many of the New Testament passages. But I want to deal for just a moment on the mind. And the first thing I want us to consider, again, the title of lesson 13 is, Be Spiritually Minded. This must be our focus. If we're going to walk after the Spirit, there is a great need for us to be spiritually minded. I want us to deal, first of all, with the influence of the mind. The mind is very important, and that is where the battleground is. Notice in Romans 8, verse 5, he says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, the word after, right, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The word after here means down and under. It signifies to be down and under something. It speaks of being subject to. Now, if you remember in Romans 6, he said that we are free from the law of sin and death. We have a newness of life. We are free from the dominion of sin and death in our lives. We are no longer after the flesh. We live after the Spirit. We have a new mind in Christ. And so we are no longer subject to that. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, if you turn there, Paul, as he's writing to the believers at Corinth, he says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there are among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, what is Paul talking about? You think about that expression, walk as men. Were these believers at Corinth not men? Of course they were. They were part of the human race. They are considered mankind. But what is he talking about when he says ye walk as men? You are walking according to the former life. You are walking according to the former conversation. In Galatians 5:1, he encourages the believers. Galatians says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He goes on to say in verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. So there is a freedom in Christ, we understand that. But that freedom, that liberty, must not be used as an occasion to go the way of the flesh. It is possible for a believer to live a carnal lifestyle, for him to go back to the former conversation, to live a life that is not pleasing in the sight of God. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, Paul writes, and if you remember, he says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, here is the struggle, right? We're to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. What draws our mind away from spiritual living is the lust of our flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. Here's the battleground, if you would. Paul, remember, in Romans 6 says, I delight after the law of God in the inward man in my mind. I want to serve God, but then the flesh is constantly pulling me in the opposite direction. And so he talks about Galatians 5:22, about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we have to recognize that the mind is influencing us. The mind, what we think about, what we dwell upon, what we entertained our thinking with, what we savor, influences the direction of our life. You remember when Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus says that he was going to be betrayed in the hands of sinners and suffer death. If you remember, Peter took Christ apart and he says, this shall not be so. You remember what Jesus said in his rebuke to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Where was Peter's mind? Peter's mind was towards the kingdom. Peter's mind was often, as you see the disciples in their own struggles between themselves, who's going to sit at the Lord's right hand and his left hand? Where was their mind? Their mind was on earthly things. They were thinking about power. They were thinking about rule. And they were not thinking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and him being the sacrifice, the atonement for the sin of man. They were not thinking, as John the Baptist was when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, they were not thinking right. And because they were not thinking right, they were speaking foolishly. That is the influence of the mind or on the mind. The Spirit of God must have his influence. If we allow the flesh to influence, to draw us in the wrong direction, we will find that our life will testify to the fact that we are not thinking properly. So that is the influence on the mind. But secondly, we see the importance of the mind. In Romans 8, verse 6, he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now he's talking here about death in contrast to life and peace. Now it's important here that death, as you study it in its context, based upon Romans chapter 6, he has been talking about us bringing forth fruit unto holiness. What does the carnal mind put to death? It puts the fruit of holiness to death. If we are going to live if we are going to have a carnal mindset, we will never live a holy life. But those who are spiritually minded, that is life and peace. So here's the instruction from Paul. Don't put to death the fruit unto holiness that God has made possible through justification. And you will put fruit unto holiness to death by being carnally minded. And so here we understand the importance of the mind and how we think in our lives. Let's read a few scripture here that shed light on this truth. If you turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, down in verse 16, notice here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Well, obviously no one. But then he says, "But we have the mind of Christ." No one has taught, no one has instructed the Lord. No one will ever instruct him. He has all the answers. But as believers, the wonderful thing is we have the mind of Christ. Because of our position in Christ, we have his mind. There is the possibility of that. If you remember in Romans 12 verse 2, he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed," here it is, "by the renewing of your mind." So our mind needs to be transformed that we may prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the mind has to be renewed. The mind of Christ that is given to us by the indwelling Holy Spirit that is there to guide us so that we are not following after the flesh, so that we are not carnally minded, but so that we are spiritually minded, we understand that we have to be constantly transformed. Our mind needs to be constantly renewed. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, down in verse 2 verses there, in verse 23 and 24, he writes and he says, or let's go back to verse 22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and," here it is, "be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So notice here, again, this fits perfectly with Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. We're talking here in Romans 8 about being spiritually minded. And if we are carnally minded, we put to death the fruit of holiness. And here he says we have to be, in Ephesians 4, we have to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, putting on the new man. And that new man is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Our mind needs to be transformed. It needs to be renewed. It constantly needs to be, if you would, updated from the corruption. Why? Because the flesh is permanently with us, and the flesh leads us in the wrong direction, but the Spirit of God leads us in the right direction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you remember that instruction in verse 1, he says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And here it is. "Casting down imaginations And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember, we're not supposed to go after the flesh. We're supposed to bring, how do we fight against the flesh, the tendencies of the flesh, and where the flesh wants to lead us? It is by bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our thinking must be in tune with Christ. So we see the influence of the mind, the importance of the mind, that is where the battleground is, but thirdly, the impossibility of the mind. In Romans 8:7, he says, because the carnal mind, here it is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there's the carnal mind, which is the enemy of God, but then there's the spiritual mind, which is in tune in accordance with God. That's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be aware that the mind in itself cannot, right? The mind left to itself, the carnal mind, the mind that we are born with, that seeks to fulfill the lust of the flesh, that mindset is at enmity with God. We receive the spiritual mind the moment of salvation, the moment that we have been justified, and we have to understand that our carnal mind cannot, it is impossible for our carnal minds to be subject unto the law of God. Therefore, we need the mind of Christ. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to be led by the Spirit in our thoughts, or else we cannot please God. In John 8:29, if you remember, Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, Jesus Christ always did that which pleased the Father. We stand here as Christians today, and I believe our heart's desire ought to be, as in the words of Jesus Christ, I always want to do the things that please him. And that being our desire, I believe we have to now ask ourselves the question, is the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ in us? You remember, Paul encouraged the believers at Philippi to have the mind of Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, in chapter 2, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we ask ourselves here, what was the mind of Christ? Well, he tells us. And I want to give you three truths that we find in Philippians chapter 2 that will help us to have the mind of Christ. If we are not going to be carnally minded, we have to have the mind of Christ. What does that mind look like? Let me give you first of all, in Philippians 2, 5, first of all, he made himself of no reputation. Now, the word made here in the original language means being emptied out or hollowed out. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ carved out of himself any concern or care for what people would think of him and of his actions, of his words, or of his earthly career. He laid all of that aside. He carved out himself any concern or care for what people thought. That was his mindset. He made himself of no reputation. And I ask us today, are we willing to learn to ignore what others think of us? Can we make ourselves of no reputation? Can we, if you would, rid ourselves of what we want and what the world wants, and are we willing to say, God, I want what you want. I'm willing to carve out of myself what I want, and I'm willing to submit to you. What a great truth. That is the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus, as he spoke to the disciples, he said in the Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You see, are we willing to have that mindset? To be willing to be reviled, to be rejected of men because of our mindset that we want to serve God. You see, if our mind says, no, I am unwilling to do that, I'm unwilling to follow God because of the consequences, then we do not have the mind of Christ. And we will never learn to live a holy life that pleases God. So first of all, he made himself of no reputation. But secondly, the Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant. That is illustrated for us in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Again, Jesus Christ being an example to his disciples, he teaches them and he says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Notice, Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. In Matthew 20:26, the Bible says, but it shall not be so among you, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. You remember Jesus Christ? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ spending time with his disciples? And as his disciples come in the house, he puts on himself, girds himself in the attire of a servant, and he gets down before the disciples on his hands and on his knees, and he begins to wash their feet. The God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the one by whom all things consist, stooped and he humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. His purpose was to serve. That was his mind. And if our mindset is not such, we will never learn to live a holy life. Because holiness is not just what we put out of our lives, holiness is what we put into our lives and what we actively do positively. But thirdly, the Bible says he humbled himself. We know what that ultimately meant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You see, he humbled himself. He became obedient. The Lord Jesus Christ did always those things that pleased the Father. What was his mindset? He carved out of himself any concern or care for what people thought of him. He only wanted to do that which pleased the Father. He took upon himself the form of a servant. His mindset was to serve, to minister, not to be ministered unto. And he humbled himself. You see, if we are going to have the mind of Christ, if we are going to be spiritually minded, the mind of Christ must be in us. The mind of the Lord will help us to be spiritually minded, and therefore, by being spiritually minded, learn to live a holy life. The mind has a great influence upon our actions. If we are only concerned for the things of the flesh, and that's what we muse upon, if that is what we think about, our behavior will soon indicate those things, as it did in the life of Peter and the disciples. But if we turn and have the mind of Christ, then we will find ourselves to be greatly helped by the power of the Spirit of God, who desires to lead us and to guide us into the way that pleases the Father. And so may the Lord help us as we conclude this lesson to be spiritually minded. Let's pray.